How can we deal with the strangest parsha in the whole entire Torah? We come to Parshas Balak, or Parshas Bilam, as called in the Gemara, and it's astounding. First off, you come at the end of Parshas Chukas. Klal Yisrael win wars against Sichon and Og, the strongest nations. You think we'd go into some mitzvahs, something to celebrate, something about Eretz Yisrael. What do we go into? We go into Bilam, waking up, talking to Kadosh Baruch Hu, trying to be coerced to go and curse the Jewish people. How in the world does this make sense? What's the flow? What's the connection between Parshas Chukas, us winning these wars, and then going into Bilam, talking about one of the greatest Rishonim who ever lived? In addition, Bilam himself is a very strange topic. We don't ever find in Kol Torah Kula that we step in to the shoes of the guy, that we step in to the picture, the room. We go behind enemy lines and see what's going on from the guy's perspective. We put on Bilam's glasses and we follow his journey. We don't ever find this. Go from all the way beginning of Bereishis to of Zayis HaBracha, and then through Tanakh. We have instances where we're dealing with the Jews, we're following the Jewish story, and then we encounter something with the Goyim, and then we go behind in that specific prat, that point, with Paroi. We see what's going on with Paro and his servants. He's debating, I don't believe in God. They say, this is God's finger, Etzbe Elohim. With the story with Esther and Achashverosh and Mordechai and Haman, there's a vacillation. We go to Mordechai, we go to Haman, we go to Esther, we go to Achashverosh, back and forth, because in contrast to what's going on with the Jews. However, Parshas Bilam, Parshas Balak, is astounding. We go completely behind enemy lines. We follow the storyline of Bilam and Balak without any mention of the Jews. There's no mention. Till you get to the end of the story where they actually instigate something with the Jews, with Pinchas and Zimri and Cosby. There's no mention of the Jews. Yes, Bilam gives them brachas. Yes, Balak hates them, wanted to destroy them. But in terms of the narrative of the Jewish people, we find nothing about our narrative in the story. It's all Bilam's viewpoint, Bilam's glasses, Bilam's show. That's what it's all about. So what is the Torah doing here? That we take an entire parsha, an entire section, and dedicate it to the lenses, the perspective, and the life of Bilam. Right? That's what's going on here. The life of Bilam. Why do we care about this so much? Why is it so critical to us that the Torah gives so many psukim towards it? Every single letter in the Torah, every single ois, is Dvar Hashem. And we dedicate hundreds and thousands of letters and words to Bilam, to Balak. And we name the Parsha after Balak or after Bilam in the Gemara. Why are we naming the Parsha after these non-Jews? What was their schus? What's the benefit? What's it coming to teach us? By Yisrael, this is a famous question. Why do we name it after Yisrael, Kabbalah Sotaira? Yisrael ultimately became a Yid. His son was Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, we have something to talk about. Here, we're talking about one of the evil, most disgusting, most treacherous people who ever lived. One of our greatest enemies, Balak, Bilam. And there's a Parsha in their name. We all wish we could do anything. We would want a Parsha in our names. It says that Reuven, Yaakov's son, would have acted differently had he known that he would be written about in the Torah. And now Balak and Bilam get the schus of being written about in the Torah? It's such an astounding question that we all have to ask ourselves, what does that mean to us? How do we process that? And besides the name, it's the whole storyline. He gets the show. What's going on here? What is the message of the Torah? In Malachi, the Torah tells us something astounding. Hashem comes and says to us, Ami, my nation, Zechar na ma ya'etz Balak melech ma'ev, uma ana oisai vilam. Please, Zechar na, please remember, Hashem's begging us, please remember that which Balak, king of Moab, planned, and what Bilam, the son of Beor, answered him. Hashem is asking me, with a please, like a pleading to me, a pleading to every Yid, please, remember what Balak and Bilam did. It's not enough that they get the show. It's not enough that they get the name. They get the whole storyline. Now Hashem says he wants me to remember their actions, their rishus, their treacherous journey. That's what Hashem wants from me? For I have to wake up and say, Maidani, oh, and this is what Balak said, and this is what Bilam said. This is not what I should be remembering. I have so many beautiful things to remember. Shesh Mitzvot Medias, I remember Yichud Hashem, Avas Hashem. I should be remembering about Balak and Bilam. What is the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, pleading of me for? It's so strange. It's an absolutely fascinating and puzzling thing that is being asked of me. This is brought in the Pnei Yeshua. It's brought in the Yavitz. It's brought in the Chida as something, one of the Zechiros, that we should remember every day. What Balak and Bilam did. So it's very apparent that there's something very critical about this story from everything that we're saying. The name, the storyline, the weight given to it, that we're supposed to remember every day, and not only supposed to remember Hashem saying, please, 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 not come close to me, not love me, not fear me, please remember what Balak and Bilam did. Why does Hashem want me to do that? What am I supposed to gain? The story and the whole entire picture of Bilam's journey is so critical to our lives that the Gemara in Brachos, that Yud Beit, says that the Chachamim, when they were instituting the various verses, Psukim, which should be in Kriya Shema, one of the main mitzvahs of every day, Shema Yishal Shem Mekin Echad, and the Psukim which follow, they wanted to put in the Psukim from Bilam's story. Now, that should blow your mind. Chazal wanted a part of our accepting the yoke of heaven every day, our ikar connection, our main chibur to Kadosh Baruch Hu, what Jewish children scream out, Shema Yishal Shem Elokeinu Echad, that should have had in it the psukim of Bilam. It says that it was historically that when after the Holocaust, when they would try and find the Jewish children that they got snatched up by the churches, they hid them in the Holocaust, they tried shmatting them up, making them Christians. One of the things they would do is they would go into shul, and they would go into the churches and scream, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Echad, and the children would finish the psukim. So that would show that they were a Jew, because every little Jewish child knows Shema, knows Vahafta. So what would have been a part of that? Bilam, some of the psukim that Bilam said that came out of this Rush's mouth. How can we process such a thing? What are Chazal trying to teach us? This is what's important to you. What Bilam said. This should be a part of your Ashrei Yishrei B'Secha, of your Shema Yishal Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That's what's born to you? This is what we're trying to get to in life? To achieve Bilam? His perspective? His words? His blessings? What were the Chacham thinking? Why did they feel it was so critical for us to say every single day the things that Bilam said, his story, his perspective, stepping into his shoes? And if you go on in the Bilam's story and what's going on over here, it gets even more astounding. I personally, I'm going to admit it, I was never privied to an open miracle. And I don't think anyone I know was privy to an open miracle where they saw the actual changing of the physical world in any way. We see miracles all the time. We see Yad Hashem, V'anisecha shebechal yimono Kodesh Baruch Hu is with you. That no matter what you think, Hashem's always there performing things for you. Never forget it. Never forget Hashem's with you. It's a miracle every single day. But those miracles are not the open miracles where this cup is going to turn into an elephant. That's a miracle that your body works, that Hashem didn't get in a car crash. But open miracles, real open miracles, that the Jew doesn't experience. And we don't need to. We know Hashem's with us anyway. Bilam, the Rasha of all Rishayim, one of the worst people in history. What does he get? He gets a miracle, which Hashem already pre-planned from the creation of the world. One of the things that were created in the first 6 days of creation specifically was the Pia Asan, was the mouth of the donkey. Why was Bilam privied to such a miraculous miracle? Such a miraculous instance, something astounding. And in the story, he doesn't even take note of it. Donkey talks to him, he responds. Donkey talks back, he responds. Then the Malach comes, which is a whole nother level of confusion. But this alone, that he was privied to Hashem's open changing of the world, is one thing. They had to have a Navi. Like Chazal tell us, that if the Goyim wouldn't have a Navi, in the end of days, they would say, you didn't give us somebody. So they had to have a Navi of great stature, of great Nevuah, of great prophecy. But the fact that Hashem had to go and show him this donkey talking, how do we get that? How do we understand this thing? How does that enter into our mind, something which makes sense in any way? And the Torah says it. The Torah teaches it to us, tells us about story. It has to make sense, has to be purposeful, has to be meaningful. And within that story itself, you find the donkey stops 3 times. And Chazal tell us that it's being rumored, it's hinting to the Shalosh Regalim and the Shalosh Avos, our forefathers. In Bilam's journey, he gets revelations of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and of the Shalosh Regalim, Pesach, Sukkot, and Shavuos. Why is that a part of his story? How does it relate to him? What's coming to teach us? And in Chazal, you find comparisons between Avraham and Bilam. Avraham had Ayin Toiv, Bilam had Ayin Ra. Avraham had things of Shiflus, of Anava, Bilam had Gaiva. What is the comparison, this extreme showing of their attributes in the Mishnah and Avos that we have to learn from them? What are Chazal doing when they're comparing these two amazing people, well, great people, they're people of power, Bilam and Avraham. Bilam was the Rosh and Avraham was the Tzaddik. What are we supposed to learn from that? Obviously, it's something very deep and something very relevant to our lives because the ethics of our fathers, the Avos, come teach us it, and it's not just for nothing. And the final question, which is like the finale, is some of the greatest brachas we have, the songs, the beautiful realities which we exist in, come from Bilam's brachas. Why in the world did Bilam have the merit to come and give us a bracha? Not only a bracha, Matoy v'oy lecha Yaakov, Mishkan Nesech Yisrael. The greatest of all brachas come from who? Not Moshe, not Avraham, not Yitzchak, from Bilam. Why specifically was he the vessel for these amazing brachas? So Bilam is this mystery of all mysteries that the Torah is coming to show us. He's supposed to be in Kriya Shema. We have to remember him every day. He gets many psukim dedicated to him. He gives us some of the greatest brachas compared to Avraham. What is the lesson here that we're supposed to learn from him? So I think the lesson here is something that we all can live with every single day of our lives. And there's an unbelievable story which we can learn from, which can grow from and take something out of. I have a friend who, someone lives on my block. He's a religious guy, frum guy. He learns, he helps people, sends his kids to good schools, a real Ben Torah. And recently I was speaking to him and I said, what's your story? How did you get to where you are in life? So he said, actually, when I was younger, I grew up in Israel in a town a little bit off of Haifa, a little yeshuv, and his family was anti-religious. He said there were some connections to God between his mother and his father in different ways, but they were anti-religious people. And he would see a religious Jew and he would despise them. He would have an anger, a hatred. So anything in religion to him was completely treif. It was off the table. It was garbage. For job reasons, his father took a position in far out South Africa, to some town far away from any normal community, and they picked up and left. His father was managing an airport over there. They bought a nice big house, beautiful life in South Africa, and he started going to the local school there. And he said there were two Jews in the class. It was him and a man in a cross on the wall, Yashka. Those are the two Jews in the class, completely not Jewish school, it was a Christian school. So he's in this class and he picked up the language there quickly, he only spoke Hebrew. And they started yelling at him and they said, you know that this man, Yashka, died for your sins. What's going on? So he said, who's Yashka? And then he switched classes there to a different class and they said again, you know that Yashka died for your sins. He died for your sins. You have to believe in him. He's like, who is this Yashka guy? I don't care about religion. Stop bothering me. And day after day, they would yell at him and scream at him. So he went back to his father. And he said to his father, a not religious man, they're telling me about this Yashka guy. He died for my sins. Sounds good. Someone died for my sins. Sounds unbelievable. Should I buy into this? Should I go with it? I want someone dying for my sins. I don't have any sins. His father goes, no, we don't believe in it. So he said, what do you mean? Why not? But why don't we believe in it? And his father really couldn't answer that question because despite being a disconnected, irreligious Israeli Jew, not wanting to have anything to do with religious people, he didn't want his son becoming Christian. So he couldn't answer his questions yet. But he said, no. We don't believe in this guy, Yashka. And he would go back to school. And he wouldn't believe in it. He would get in fights. Come back to his father. What's going on? You tell me I have to believe in this guy, so what's going on? And he pushed his father, he pushed his father. Till his father started opening up the Chumash. They had a Bible in their house. The Old Testament, the Chumash. They started reading it, getting ideas. At the same time, his father lost a job. His father moved for a job and lost the job. Now his father was stuck. His father started driving around and he got an idea to export flowers. So he started creating export business. He had to travel to Johannesburg. In Johannesburg, there was a rabbi who lived nearby. So he started asking him all his questions. And the rabbi started explaining to him, teaching about Torah and mitzvahs. And eventually the rabbi took the track down to this community where they lived, far out of Johannesburg, and started teaching about Torah and mitzvahs. My friend's bar mitzvah was coming up. And he said every Shabbos, they weren't religious yet, and they would drive over to different houses and teach them about Torah and mitzvahs that this rabbi from Johannesburg was teaching them. And then they found, hey, there's a Jew here, a Jew here, a Jewish couple here. And they started having chaburas on Shabbos, learning Chumash, learning Torah, learning mitzvahs together, giving over what the rabbi taught them. They had a bar mitzvah there. The rabbi came, gave them bar mitzvah. They eventually started keeping Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And eventually they moved to Johannesburg. And through a long journey, my friend became completely religious, now married with children. He came back. Now, his father originally moved to Johannesburg because his father lost his job in Israel. To this random place. And then his father moved from this random place, started being in Johannesburg, was next to the rabbi. Their whole life was uprooted and flipped over numerous times. And Hashem was arranging everything behind the scenes to bring them back, to show He cares, to give them love, to bring them back in His caress. And this is the foundation of all of Judaism, that Hashem is constantly working behind the scenes. You think you're going X place for X reason, then it doesn't work out. And then you pivot, you do Y, and then you do Z. And you think you're running the show and all these things. And it's really Hashem taking care of you in every single instance, every step you take, every move you make, every breath you take. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with you. He's orchestrating it all in a way that's far beyond you. So next time you're walking, next time something happens, you stop for a second. Say, wait a second, Hashem's running the show. Something difficult happens. You feel the pain. You process it. You know it's hard. And you see, Hashem's running the show. Hashem's taking care of me. Hashem's holding me in the palm of His hands. And He's always bringing me back to the good. He's always lifting me up. He's always wanting me to come close to Him. No matter what you do, you can't run away from God. You can't run away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is with you no matter where you go. The more you remember that, the more you're going to feel His presence. The more you're going to know that you have a security. The more you're going to know that everything's going to be good. Will it always be easy? No. Will you always see it? No. Will it ultimately always work out in some way, whether or not you process this yet? Yes, it will. Hashem's always with you. You have to know that. This is the whole foundation of our Parsha, Parsha's Balak. What happens at the end of Parsha's Chukas? The Jewish people have the first time in the 40 years in the desert, and the first time in the whole Torah until this point, that they instigate something. They get attacked by Amalek, they get attacked by Mitzrayim, they're always on the defense. And Baruch Hashem, they succeed. Here they go out to Sichon Neg to try and see if there's going to be peace, and otherwise they have to keep going. They have to get there to Yisrael. Sichon doesn't take to it, and then the war happens. And Klal Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, obliterate. What do you feel when you instigate, when you conquer, when you win? You start thinking, hey, I'm running the show. I have the strength to win this war. The second we start feeling, aligning ourselves with our strength, then we unalign ourselves with Hashem's strength. We forget, we lose power, we unplug ourselves from the source of energy, from the ultimate eternity. Hashem tells us right after we win the war, when you are going to succeed in life, when you're going to do something, it's going to work out, where you're going to put in your efforts and you're going to see the end result based off that. Don't think for a second that I wasn't there with you the whole time. Don't think for a second it was you. It was only because I helped you. I guided you. I stopped all the bad things from happening. And you, Baruch Hashem, had the good result. And you have to know that in the good times and the bad times, that Hashem's with you, thick and thin, through and through. No matter what, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with you. God is with you. This is the lesson of the Parsha. We come into Parsha's Balak. We go behind enemy lines. We step into Bilam's shoes. We step in to his vision. We put on his glasses. And we take the Bilam journey. We see all his conversations with Hashem. We see how Balak was out to get us. We see how the man who helped Sichon win, Sichon was so powerful, but they couldn't win Moav. Who helped them? Bilam. So Balak hires then Bilam to destroy us. And it should work. Bilam helped Sichon win when they couldn't win. So now, Balak's hiring him. He's going to do it. And it should have worked. He should have found that second where Hashem was angry in the day. Why didn't he? Says the Gemara. Because Hashem loves us, he didn't get angry that entire time. Hashem was running the show. It should have been we had a downfall, that we were lost, that we would have been obliterated by Bilam in that second of anger by Hashem. But Hashem says, I love you. I'm here with you. I'm orchestrating everything so you can exist, so you can go into Eretz Yisrael, so you can be with me. That means that Hashem is with us every single step of the way, even when you don't realize. This lesson is so critical to our lives that Hashem dedicates an entire parsha in the Torah to a Rasha, to two Rishayim. We have to see everything they're doing. They're trying to win Hashem over. Bilam, when he's going along the way, is thinking, what angle can I find where I can get the Jewish people, where I can figure out where they have a flaw? So he thinks of Avram. He's like, he has kids who aren't so good. I'm gonna attach on to that. That's Klal Yisrael. He realizes, no, Yishmael's Keturah is not Klal Yisrael. He loses that angle. That's the first stop of the donkey in the journey. Then he's going, he sees another angle on one side. He gets crushed. He realizes, no. He wanted to go after Yitzchak. Yitzchak has a bad son, Esav. He's going to get the Jewish people on Esav. Oh, it's not Jewish people as well. And then he gets crushed on both sides because he goes to Yaakov and he sees there's no way out. The Jewish people are completely protected. Bilam's trying to get us at every angle. And Hashem's stopping him. He says, no. Shalosh Regalim stopped three times. These three times. What were the Shalosh Regalim? Explains the Sifsei Kain, the Shachal HaTorah, the Shalosh Regalim are representing, as the Midrash says, the Shalosh Regalim, us going up to Yerushalayim. When we go up to Yerushalayim, explain Chazal, we go with a Malach. So it's our 2 feet and 1 foot of a Malach. That's what the donkey was telling him. That the Jewish people always have protection. Hashem is always with them. The Shachal HaTorah explains that Hashem hid from Bilam the fact that Klal Yisrael were going to sin in the future. Because if he would have seen that, he would have had something to latch on to. Bilam, this horrible Russia, this conniving monster is trying to figure out a way to get us. And Hashem is saying, no, that's not Jewish people. That's the Jewish people. They have Malachim with them. Bilam, what are you doing? Oh, you're going to see their sins in the future? I'm going to block that from you. Hashem is constantly protecting us. He's constantly trying to help us. And then the donkey's mouth opens up. Why does donkey's mouth open up? Explains the Kliyaka, the Svarno, Shachal HaTorah, and others. The donkey's mouth opened up. So Bilam would be Chayzer B'Tshuva. Hashem was trying to dissuade him, to encourage him to head back. Don't do it. Don't curse the Jews. It's not worth it. Look, I'm performing a miracle for you. See, I control the donkey's mouth. I control your mouth. Don't do it, Bilam. Don't go there. Hashem was doing everything he could to not take away Bilam's bechira completely, not take away his free will, because the ultimate man is a man with free will. Hashem was not going to turn him into a robot off the bat. Hashem said, go back. It's not worth it. I'm telling you. I told you, I don't want you going. It makes me angry you went. I'm trying to give you every single option. I'm showing you a change in the fabric of reality. Because the Jewish people are the reality of the world. We will exist through every single moment in time. We will exist through everything, through difficulty, every darkness. Bilam, you can't beat them. They're the fabric of the reality of the world. They will be strong always. And I'm going to change the reality of the world to show you that. Everything can happen. The world can turn over, upside down, inside out, and the Jewish people will still be here. I can control the world. I run the world. And I'm telling you, the Jewish people will still be here. That's what's going to happen. So Bilam sees this. He has the opportunity to see this amazing miracle. Hashem showing him, so he should be chayzer b'tshuva, so he should turn around, he shouldn't curse the Jews. And what does Bilam do? He starts arguing with the donkey. He starts coming to make a back and forth. No, you donkey, da-da-da-da-da. Not having it. The Malach comes. Bilam backs down a little bit. Oh, okay. But he doesn't chayzer b'tshuva. He doesn't turn himself around. He doesn't listen to the calls out to Hashem. But Hashem did it for one reason, because he loves us. Why did Hashem show Paro all the miracles in Mitzrayim? Paro saw more miracles than anybody. More miracles than me, more miracles than anyone I know. More miracles than most of the greatest Nevi'im Paro saw and Mitzrayim saw. Why did Hashem do it? To show Hashem's covered in the world, to show the Jewish people are strong, to show Hashem is with us, show that Hashem loves us. Why did the greatest Rishayim, Bilam and Paro, experience these amazing miracles changing the fabric of reality? Because Hashem loves us. That's an unbelievable idea we all have to take into account. Hashem loves you. He changes the world for you. He shows Rishayim miracles for you. So realize how special you are. And that's why Hashem showed Bilam this amazing miracle. Because he loves us. Because he's trying to discourage him before changing his Bechira. You go on in the story and you find that Bilam and Balak start bringing karbanos. And as the Midrashim explain, they're trying to sway Hashem's decisions. Why is Hashem showing us this? Why is the Torah talking about this? Because it made a difference. It says that B'schus Balak's karbanos, he had a certain level of positive intentions. He was trying to appease Hashem. Rus came out of him. The Mashiach came out of him. So you see, his actions were very, very great. And Hashem didn't listen to them. So no matter how great his actions were, that they created the Mashiach, Hashem's love for the Jewish people is greater. Hashem's care for us is greater. Hashem's promise to us is greater. And he won't listen to any level of appeasement because we're B'nei B'chor Yisrael. We're Hashem's people. You keep going in the Parsha, and it comes to the klalas, to the curses. The greatest blessings we have, they come out of who? Out of Bilam, out of the Rasha. Why do they come out of there? What's Hashem teaching us? That I'm always here with you. I'm always protecting you. I'm always guiding you. And the darkest things in your life, the things you think that are so bad, are going to build you in the greatest way. They're going to stand for you in ways which you could never imagine. Evan Masu Habanim Haitzel Rosh Pina. It says the builders hate this giant stone, but it will be the Rosh Pina. It will be their cornerstone. It will be the foundation for the whole building. In life, we all experience so many challenges, so many darknesses, so many difficulties. Parnasa, children, religion, friendships, emotions. Everyone in their own life, in their own community, in their own challenges, know what their challenges are, what their difficulties are, what the darknesses are. Says the Torah, the greatest darknesses, from the greatest choshech will come the greatest or the greatest klalas. Bilam should have found that second of anger. Hashem said, I'm not getting angry. And you're going to curse, I'm going to flip your mouth and give the greatest brachas. So why do the greatest brachas come out of Bilam? Because that's the ultimate lesson that Hashem is with us in the background through all the difficulties. Through all the scary times, through all the pain, Hashem is there with you, and He's building you. Whether it's going to be in Olam Haba or Olam Hazeh, it's never for naught, and we have to believe in that with all our strength. And that's what the Torah gave us, this Parsha, of the Rasha, of the evil man, the wicked of the wicked. They get a Parsha to teach us that through all the bad, Hashem is giving us light. Through all the difficulty, Hashem is giving us positivity. Hashem is giving us good. Hashem is always there for our good. This is something we have to remember every single day. Please, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please remember what Balak and Bilam tried to do to you. Why should we remember such a thing? Because through the story we see how much is going on in the background that we don't realize. How Hashem is taking care of us, always making sure that we are going to be okay. Throughout all of history, we have been persecuted. It says, V'hi sha'amda, they stood against us to destroy us. The Vilna Gaon says there's always people in the background trying to destroy us, trying to obliterate us, trying to eradicate us. And Hashem's wiping them away. Every single second of the Jewish nation's existence is a miracle of miracles. It makes no sense we're here. Everything, whether you're in America or Israel, you're surrounded by people who have such high levels of hatred for you. They can't even express it. They can't understand it. They can't explain it. Every single second, a Jew lives in Israel, a Jew lives in America, and he's surrounded by all these goyim. He's living in an open miracle. That there are so many people out to get you, that they don't even understand it, and we're still surviving, we're thriving, we're growing. That's the tale of history. This story of Bilam Balak is saying throughout all of history, all your darknesses, don't worry. I protect you, I'm guiding you. But there's a caveat. You have to be with me. The Zohar says on that pasuk in Micha, I'm sorry, in Malachi, that I am here with you. Like a father holds a child. That's what Hashem says to us. Bilam and Balak tried to get you. These evil men tried to get you. And Hashem says, I am here with you like a father who holds a child. You should not ever forget that. Do not give up. But you have to do one thing, says Hashem. You have to grab on back to me. That's what the Zohar says. That Hashem says to Jewish people, I will hold on to you like a father, like a child. But you have to be like a child to the father, and you have to hold on back to me. And the Pesukim over there, it dictates the rest of the Pasuk, that when we went to Baal Peor, we did at the end of the Parsha, the Avodah Zarah, we were saying, Hashem, I found someone else. I'm going to go over there with him. That's the end of the pasuk when it says, "Bilam ben Beor min hashitim ad haGilgal leman das tidkos Hashem." That min hashitim ad haGilgal. That's referring to at the end of the parsha's Balak, where we strayed and we did Baal Peor. So Hashem is saying, "I will be with you. I will hold you like a father holds a son, and you have to hold me like a son holds a father. But don't stray away. Don't go to all the other idols, distractions." And this applies on a grand scale and applies on a smaller scale. We all have so many things which pull us away from Yiddishkeit. So many distractions. So many hardships. Oh, it's going to be Western culture. It's going to be physicality. It's going to be machloikes. Hashem says, don't go to all these things. Don't get distracted. Don't go to other gods. Don't make money a god for yourself. Don't make physicality a god for yourself. Don't make shitas a god for yourself. This is my shita and I have to do this. Don't make a whole world of gods and forget about God. Know that Hashem is grabbing onto you and holding you like a father holds a son. Just hold on back to him. Don't get distracted. That's what we have to remember every single day. That Bilam and Balak were trying to destroy us and Hashem was holding on to us. And he was holding on to us and we were holding on back. The second we let go, then we lost our protection. We have to take the eternal lesson the Torah is trying to give us here, that Hashem is holding on to us. The Gemara says that this should have been a part of Kriya Shema. Why? Because it teaches us that when we get up and when we go to sleep, when we lay down and we stand up, when we walk, we talk, we breathe, who is with us? Hashem is with us, taking care of us. Behind the scenes, behind everything going on, Hashem is with us. Hashem is here. Hashem is with you. He's giving you a hug. He's taking care. He's walking with you. You may not see it. You may feel like he's not there. Says the Torah, look at Parshas Bilam. Look at Balak. Look what they try to do to you. Hashem is with you. I am with you. I need you to stare at that. I need you to look. I need you to meditate about it. I need you to concentrate that I'm with you, even when you don't see me. We step into the Goy's shoes. We go behind enemy lines. The Torah dedicates psukim and gives weight. And Chazal talk about this horrible Russia for one reason. So you know that Hashem is with you at all times. The Torah compromises itself for us. Hashem Kaviyachol compromises itself for us. Talks about the Russia, gives psukim to the Russia. How many people were zoiche to psukim and parshias, to nevuas at the highest level, to teach us one thing. That this story shows you how many things could go against us, how many curses, how many bad people come and kill us, and Hashem is watching over us. This is a lesson we all have taken in our lives. That we have so much going on, we have so many difficulties, so many challenges, so many hardships, and Hashem is with you through them all. Don't forget it. Have an amazing day.